Well, good morning, church. It's so glad to be with you today. I'm so excited to preach today. But wasn't it an amazing morning of singing and worshiping God together? And I don't know about you, but those songs hit home with me. They resonated with me and where we're at as a church and as believers and the things that we're going through right now. It's a great reminder to look to Christ, to look to God, and to understand that he's in control. And speaking of God's in control, let me kind of dive into a few things before we get in our message here this morning. I just want to update you on some, as Derek mentioned, transitions that are going on, processes that are happening, lots of things going on. But I just want you to know where we're at as a church. And so, you know, in this process of transition without a lead pastor, in some different staff positions, like Derek said, we're very thankful for the volunteers, the many people that are serving faithfully, stepping up, doing more in ministries, but also doing more on the committees. And so our different committees are leadership, HR, finance, deacons. There's probably a few more on there that I'm kind of missing, but there's a lot of people serving on committees that are doing a lot more in this time period. And so with that said, leadership team has met a few times. And so leadership team brings up, discusses, and votes on the next interim pastor. And so leadership team has decided to bring John Marshall as our interim pastor. So John Marshall is going to start October 15th as our interim pastor. And so he used to pastor Second Baptist Church. And so he's been around this area, very respectable man. He's been around here for a while. So many of you know him, but he will be stepping into the pulpit on October 15th. Alongside of that, our HR committee, that team has been meeting every week and a few times a week during this season, and their job is to get together a search committee, a group of 5 to 9 people to come together and to discuss the process of pursuing the next pastor, the next lead pastor. And so they're in the process of choosing names to be on a search committee. And so whenever they get those names in, and leadership and HR agree on those, we will bring that to you as a church, and we will have a special call business meeting where we're going to vote on that team, and then we'll start the process of pursuing a lead pastor. And so I say all this to let you know that there's a lot going on behind the scenes. There's a lot of people involved in a lot of different things. But like we sang about today, I want to remind you that God is in control. You know, God is not surprised by the things that we're dealing with, the transitions that are taking place. And God has been, if you've been at Southgate for, you know, a handful of years now, you know that through every transition, God shows up. You know that God is here in this church, and that God is going to continue to be here in this church and continue to work in us and through us. So I just wanted to update you a little bit on where we're at, but also kind of where we're going in this process. And so this is kind of why I chose this passage today. God laid it upon my heart that we just needed to understand where we're at, where our mindset is, and where our focus is. So today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'll get there in just a second, but you can go ahead and turn that way and so you're ready for me. So today, as we look into this passage, we're going to be discussing what it is to look to Christ and proclaim Christ amongst spiritual warfare. Now, when I say spiritual warfare, you're like, what does that have to do with me? Like, why, my day-to-day life, what does it matter about spiritual warfare? It matters because if we're truly believers, if we're committed to Christ and we're following him faithfully and involved in this church, there's going to be battles that we face as a church and as believers that are more than just us, man on man. They're going to be spiritual. They're going to be things that only we can accomplish or conquer if we rely on God. And so we're going to be looking here in 1 and 2 Corinthians at this topic of spiritual warfare, of pursuing Christ in this. And so just to give you a little backstory, Paul the Apostle wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians. And so if you don't know, Paul wrote much of the New Testament. And there's a period in his life where he ran from God God convicted him, and he did some miraculous things for God. And through that, God used him to impact so many people in the faith and for the faith, and used him to write much of the New Testament. So as we get into this passage here in 2 Corinthians, we need to understand first that as Paul is writing this book, that he's not writing it to unbelievers. Paul is writing this book in 2 Corinthians for the believers. You know, that should kind of sit at home with us as we're kind of entering into this passage soon, that the things that Paul discusses here are things that the church struggled with, that the body of believers struggled with. Their focus was not on Christ. Their focus was about throwing accusation or following false prophets. Their focus was not on Christ. And so we see here today we're going to be challenged that the people of the Corinthian church, you know, accused Paul of some things, but Paul says, it's not about me, it's about Christ. And so we're going to look at that today. Now, Paul isn't saying that he's not human. Paul isn't saying that he doesn't struggle like we struggle, because he definitely does. But Paul is saying that there's something more to life than just me and you. He understood that his focus needed to be Christ. His focus needed to be on what mattered. And so let's see the accusations that were thrown at him, and let's see what mattered to Paul here. So 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6, if you would read along with me. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Man, so those three verses are very impactful here. The first part, I just want to read one more time so we're getting this. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. So as we get into this passage, we see that there's two things that come out in this passage as Paul is being accused of certain things. And the two things are the flesh and the spiritual. So the flesh and the spirit. So there's two paths of life that I want us to look at today. And the first is walking in the flesh. The first accusation made at Paul was that he walked in the flesh. Now, what does it mean to walk in the flesh? It kind of sounds weird to say it like that. But to walk in the flesh means to live for yourself. We're all very good at that. We can all live for ourselves. We all know how to do that. But this means you are defying God and either privately or openly living in sin. So living for the flesh, walking in the flesh, means you are defying God and doing everything for yourself. And so whenever we do things for ourselves, whenever we're defying God, you've probably heard of this word, we get this word sin. So sin is what separates us from God. Sin has very serious consequences when it comes to our relationship between us as the sinner and God. These consequences include divine disfavor, guilt, punishment, and even death. You know, sin is a big thing that a lot of us kind of push to the side, but it's the sin in our life that separates us from God. It's the sin in our life that brings about all the struggles that we face. And if we don't get our sin right, if we don't give our sin to God, then he's not going to be able to work in our life. So this separation that we receive from sin, like I said, leads to eternal death in hell. Entirely, eternally separated from God forever. Like, that's a big thing, to be eternally separated from God forever. And you say, why? Well, does it really matter that much? Do I really need to understand, like, I'm a sinner? You know, my sin leads to death and eternal separation from God. Like, can I just figure that out later in my life? Like, okay, sure, you can figure it out later on in life. But if you don't understand that you're a sinner and that you're broken and that you're separate from God now, I mean, you know that you're a sinner, you know, there's most likely going to come a point in your life where you're going to still be like, you know, I have more time. I can still have fun. I can still do this. I can still do that. And then one day it's going to be too late. And, you know, I don't want to push anybody or scare anybody to making a decision to follow Christ. But if you understand that you're broken, if you understand that you're a sinner, if you understand that you're separate from God because of that sin, then it's our job to get that right and to come to God, come to the altar, and to worship him and say, God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my brokenness. Use me to do miraculous things for you. And so our sin is not something that we need to live in fear about, because Christ can conquer that sin. That should bring joy to our life. That should bring hope to our life. That whatever it is that we're going through personally, whatever it is that we're going through as a church, you know, God can work in that. God can convict us. God can redirect us. And God can step in and give light to that situation. Now, God does not need us or the rest of creation for anything. Yet, he loves us so much. And he loves to have a relationship with us that he sent his Holy Son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth and to die on the cross for us. 1 Corinthians 10:31 gives direction to do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. Christians can have hope in a relationship with God. Every single human being, no matter their sin, illness, weakness, age, whatever it is you want to throw in there, it cannot hold you back from the love of God. God wants to have a relationship with you, but the sins of our life keeps us separate from him. Now, Paul will admit that he walks according to the flesh in the sense that we all do. He is a flesh and blood human being. Christians struggle constantly with many different things. However, Paul wants to make it clear that he does not war according to the flesh. He sets himself separate from the sins of this world. How often do we not set ourselves separate from the world? How often do we fall back into our flesh, into the sins, into the struggles? You know, just a simple thing that we can think of we ourselves and many of those around us, we can see that we put on a face to come to church and that we're different at home, or we're different at work, or we're different doing out fun things. So just that little thing in itself, if we're putting on a face, we're being someone different here than we are out in the community, you know, that's not being genuine believers, someone that's genuinely convicted by what Christ did for them on the cross. You know, so if we just take that and we can expound on that and whatever it is that we're struggling with, you know, sin can separate us from God and sin can cause us to not worship God well. But Paul says, I am not going to be rooted in the flesh. I am not going to be impacted by the flesh. I am going to look to the Spirit. I'm going to look to Christ and see what he can do in me and through me and with me if I give my life to him. So when Paul fought, his weapons were not material, but spiritual. He didn't fight with swords or spears like many people thought he would or should. Paul would not defend his approval from Christ with a worldly defense. Paul sought to proclaim Christ in his ministry, and that was done by relying on God. So we can rely on God just like Paul, and that is by following the second path of life. The second path of life is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. So we as believers can make this decision to follow Christ, to walk in the Spirit, and then we as a church can make a decision to walk in the Spirit and to follow Christ. And so those are big steps that have to happen for us to truly step into walking in the Spirit daily. Because a lot of times, you know, just being honest, a lot of times we sit in these chairs, we partake in a ministry, whatever that is, but we don't truly buy into the church, to our church, to Southgate. You know, we need to have that buy-in. We need to understand that as a body of believers, this is our church, and God has given us commands all through Scripture to be bold with his word, to be bold with his faith, to proclaim his name to our community, to worship him well, to make his name known everywhere. And so if we are a church that is convicted with that knowledge, then we need to be a church that walks in the Spirit and locks arms together and goes out and just tackles the things that needed to be tackled for our world. But it's not an easy step to just say, like, well, you know, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. You know, like, oh, forget my fleshly desires, forget my lust, forget my brokenness, you know, forget sin. I'm going to step into this. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. It's not just a simple, you know, okay, you know, I'm going to go on this side of the line and, you know, I'm just going to stay here. You know, it's kind of nice. You know, it's kind of nice whenever I don't, you know, encounter these hurdles or I don't get in trouble all the time because I'm doing these dumb things. Like, I think I will stay over here. No, it takes way more than just saying you're going to walk in the Spirit. It takes dedication. It takes commitment. I mean, it takes a perseverance more than anything else. Paul was, in this passage, being persecuted, I mean, being challenged with his testimony and them saying, well, Paul, you're not living this way. And he's saying, yes, I am. I'm living in Christ, for Christ. Everything I do is for Christ. To battle against a sinful and worldly way of thinking and doing, our thoughts and actions must be brought captive and made obedient to Jesus. Someone might say, or you might say, like, hey, I don't want my thoughts captive. I don't want Jesus to know what I'm thinking or doing. I don't want anybody, you know, to understand or see that. But this is a wrong form of thought. You know, if we're truly giving our entire life to Jesus Christ who died for us, then don't you think it's okay that he knows us, understands us, loves us, and wants to direct us in our lives? And at the end of the day, one way or another, you either serve Jesus or you serve the devil. You know, you may not proclaim like, hey, I follow the devil, but if you say you're not a follower of Jesus, there's only one other path, and that's the path of life, the path that the devil wants you to be on so you never understand who Jesus is in your life. So to live for Jesus, we must put on the armor of God, as mentioned in Ephesians 6. Paul lists the spiritual weapons he used. Many of you have heard these things before, but you know, I'm going to go through them and just remind you what they are. Paul used the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. To rely on these weapons took faith in God. Oftentimes, we do not have faith and lack trust in God, just like the individuals mentioned in the Corinthian church. You know, they thought they could do it all. They thought they could power themselves up and make these decisions and not rely on God. But Paul says here that he relied on God in all these ways. The Corinthian Christians went about it this way, as oftentimes we probably have as believers. Instead of the belt of truth, they fought with manipulation. Instead of the breastplate of righteousness, they fought with the image of success. Instead of the shoes of the gospel, they fought with smooth words. Instead of the shield of faith, they fought with the persecution of power. Instead of the helmet of salvation, they fought with lording over authority. Instead of the sword of the Spirit, they fought with human schemes and programs. They tried to do it themselves. And Paul's saying, that's not right. You need to do it for the Lord and in the Lord and let Jesus direct. So Jesus himself relied on spiritual weapons when he fought for our salvation. Philippians 2, 6 through 8 describes this. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross, Jesus came obedient to God. This kind of victory through humble obedience offended the Christians back then. They thought it was weak. The worldly human way is to overpower, dominate, manipulate, and outmaneuver. The spiritual Jesus way is to humble yourself, die to yourself, and let God show his resurrection power through you. Man, that convicts me. That excites me. Like, I know every time in my life when I do things for myself, when I live for myself, I fail miserably. But every time that I have given it over to God, I've relied on God and let him work in a situation, it turns out in so much of a better way than I ever could have thought. So just from my own life, I understand that God loves us, God directs us, and God does miraculous things through those that are faithful. So we must remind ourselves that Paul speaks to worldly thinking among Christians, and we must be convicted that we are worldly Christians, and we need to put our mind on Christ and everything that we're doing in life. A great quote that I've heard is, "For nothing is more opposed to the spiritual wisdom of God than the wisdom of the flesh, and nothing is more opposed to his grace than man's natural ability." This is hard to preach, because I know who I am. I'm a human being. I'm broken. I'm messed up. I'm a sinner. You know, I'm not worth anything. And this just reminds me of that. But it also excites me, like I said, because I know that my hope isn't in myself. My hope isn't in you. My hope is in Jesus Christ, like I said, who came down to earth, who gave of himself, who died on a cross for me, you know, for you. That's the God I serve. That's the God I love. That's the God that loves you. The gospel transforms and unites a lost world, and believers must be the light by the work of Christ. So are you bold in the Spirit today? Are we bold in the Spirit as a church? Are we able to proclaim that we have been miraculously saved out of our brokenness and testify that God is working in us and through us and in our church? Can we proclaim that today? Are we impacted by what Christ did for us? If you are struggling with remembering the sacrifice Christ made so that we can have hope in him, then let me encourage you to start with one simple little thing. It's much more than a little thing, but let me encourage you to change your life and to start with prayer. So how to make a change in the right direction? Start with prayer. Start to pray or pray more. It may sound cheesy if you've grown up in the church, if you understand the Christian culture, whatever it is, you've most likely heard about prayer, and everybody's told you to, hey, just pray about it. I'm praying for you. You know, all those kinds of things. But it's so much more than that. You know, prayer is communing with God. Prayer means you're diving into Scripture and you're giving it back to God and asking God to direct you and convict you and lead you. You're praying fervently over, in, and through his word, and you're praying about your life and those around you and the things that God is doing in this world. Prayer means so many things. So wherever you land on the spectrum of prayer, if you never pray and you need to start, or if you have a prayer life and you need to continue to be rooted in that prayer life, let me encourage you to pray. Like 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 challenges us, where it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Sometimes I don't want to pray. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. But I know in those moments, whenever I give my life to God, whenever I say, God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why I'm going through this situation. I don't understand why this person's going through this situation. I may not know what to say in those moments, but I know in those moments, whenever I just give my heart and my mind to Christ and I pray and say, God, I don't even know what to say, but be in this situation. You know, I know that God works in that. I know that God can do miraculous things through a heart that's devoted to him. And we as a church need to make that a priority. As we're going through these transitions, as we're going through these changes, we as a church need to dive into prayer. We need to dive into Scripture. We need to learn more about God. Yes, you may have a knowledge, but man, if you are diving into Scripture every single day and you have a prayer life, you understand and you know that you learn something new every day about yourself and about God and about this church. We try to make priority of prayer here at Southgate. Every week we have individuals that meet here at the church for an hour, hour and a half, and all they do is pray. They pray about you, they pray about your kids, your family, your financial situations, whatever it is that you're struggling with. If that thing has come to that team, they pray about it. They also pray for this church. They pray for God's direction and hand on this church. They pray that we are a church devoted to him, a church that is living for the community, a church that understands that he loves us and that we want to do the best for him and for the gospel. But it takes so much more than just that one group. It takes so much more. We need that group that prays every week. We need those people that say, you know what? I understand the importance of prayer. I understand that I need to be rooted in the Spirit. I understand that I need to give my life every single day to the Lord. But it takes an entire church to have that mindset for God to work miraculous things through us and in us. So can you imagine, church, as we're looking at these two paths of life, I know it's a handful of things to give you of the path of life and the path of the Spirit seem simple, but like I said, are very big things to decide on and to choose from because the flesh, the world, has such a strong pull on us. But can you imagine, church, what we could do, who we could be if we truly gave our hearts and our minds to the Lord every single day? You know, if it was so much more than a Sunday and Wednesday thing. You know, if we lived daily for the Lord, what could he do in us and through us? I don't know about you, but for me, you know, I'm impacted and I'm burdened to think about the next generation and the next generation and the next. You know, what is church going to be like for my kids and their kids and the generations to come after that? The church is only the church if you stand and hold the line of faithfulness and dedication to God's word that we have right here with us. We cannot allow the world to transform what God's word says. We cannot allow our opinions to push us and sway us. We need to stand firm on what God's word teaches us and to live boldly from his word. And that's on us. And I don't know about you, but if you have kids, if you have grandkids, if you have a spouse, man, you should be burdened to think, what am I doing today to make the church for my kids? 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. So do we trust in him when things are not as we want it to be? Do we trust him enough in every area of our lives? Do we still trust him when unimaginable things are happening all around us? If we do trust in God who says that he is faithful, then we must decide to live by faith and not by sight. As we close today, as the band comes forward, I want to remind you and encourage you that Christ is at work in you and in this church. Nothing that is happening today surprises Christ. Nothing that is happening surprises him. He knew that when he left his throne with God in heaven to come to earth, he would be persecuted, hated, belittled, tortured, and killed. But it was for us. He still chose to make a way for us to know him personally because that is how much Christ loves us. If we remember the love that Christ has for us, the sacrifice he made on the cross for us, and that we have the Holy Spirit residing in us, then we can get through anything this world throws at us. And we can for sure get through this next season. So if you would, stand with me. I'm going to challenge you to pray today. Whether it's at your seat or whether it's at the altar, I just want you to pray over your spiritual life, over where you're at in your journey with God. But I also want you to pray over our church. Our church needs prayer. Our church needs you to be dedicated right now. So if you would, pray for our church. Pray that God continues to use us and bless us for the advancement of his kingdom. So after I pray, you're more than welcome to come to the altar or to stay where you are and pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we have an example in Scripture through many people that were broken and hurting, and Lord, that you used to do miraculous things through. Lord, you advanced the church through many people, Lord, you can continue to do that today, Lord, as we are a body of believers here at Southgate that are seeking to be dedicated to you, Lord, through your word, through prayer, and through your spirit. Lord, I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you my mind and my soul right now, Lord, as we're entering this season of transition. Lord, as there's many things going on in everybody's lives, but continue to show up. Continue to just use us that are just broken individuals, Lord. Be with us as we pray to you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.